You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
The USICS Cyber Emergency Response Team reports on the Ukraine grid hack and has some advice for U.S. utilities. Don't connect your control systems to the internet. ISIS tells Twitter and Facebook it's going to take them down from the web. Ransomware continues to flourish as both grand and petty larceny. Cyber risks remain imperfectly understood. And Apple tells the court what creation of government OS would actually entail. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Friday, February 26, 2016. The U.S. government officially stated yesterday what everyone has unofficially believed for about a month and a half. The power grid in western Ukraine was indeed taken down by a December cyber attack. The Department of Homeland Security's Industrial Control System Cyber Emergency Response Team's recommendations to the electrical power industry, however, are more pointed. They offer counsel on what are surely good practices, and they also advise some substantial disconnection. For example, the report says, quote, organizations should isolate industrial control system networks from any untrusted networks, especially the internet, end quote. There's little doubt that Black Energy figured in pre-attack reconnaissance, but the malware's precise further role in the attack remains unknown and officially under study. Quote, it is suspected that Black Energy may have been used as an initial access vector to acquire legitimate credentials, the team writes. However, this information is still being evaluated, end quote. Washington has asked Silicon Valley to do something about extremism online, and both Twitter and Facebook have taken some small steps in that direction. ISIS has noticed. The caliphate promises retaliation in cyberspace. Addressing Mark and Jack by first name, that would be Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Twitter's Jack Dorsey, an online message says, you announce daily that you suspended many of our accounts. And to you, we say, is that all you can do? You are not in our league. If you close one account, we will take 10 in return, and soon your names will be erased after we delete your sites, Allah willing, and will know that what we say is true. End quote. The missive is signed by the Sun's Caliphate Army. There's also a video suggesting the caliphate's more customary direct physical brutality, the Flames of Ansar depicting bullet-ridden images of Mark and Jack. A think piece in Technology Review wonders whether Silicon Valley really could or really would respond to Uncle Sam's call for mobilization. The answer is a qualified yes. could if they considered ways of introducing dissenting voices from ISIS's core demographic into the narrative, would because, to the presumed dismay of techno-libertarians, Silicon Valley's presumed aversion to working with the intelligence community seems to be eroding as the reality of the ISIS threat sinks in. At least, so thinks Technology Review. Ransomware continues its rise as the currently fashionable form of cybercrime. Students of the problem see several developments contributing to the trend. First, the availability of anonymous networks like Tor make criminals think they can get away with it. But one notes that the apparent success of the feds in getting researchers under subpoena to de-anonymize Tor users might give the gangs pause, if they're paying attention. Second, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin induce hoods to think they'll actually be able to get paid without getting caught. And third, the growing Internet of Things has expanded the available attack surface, and many newly networked devices are neither designed for nor installed with security in mind. Many law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, are working the problem and offering advice. Companies like Kaspersky and MSSoft have released free decryption tools for specific strands of ransomware, a public service for which they deserve commendation. We'll say it. Thanks. But the best defense remains anticipatory. Back up your files. Cyber risk management concerns filter up to corporate boards and C-suites. CEOs in particular are acknowledging that they're a bit at sea with respect to understanding cyber risk. A look at the report Independent Security Evaluators released this week provides evidence that compliance may be clouding healthcare enterprises' view of the threat. SwissRay's departing leader warns that the insurance industry itself, which should certainly be expert in risk management, still has trouble assessing cyber risk. In fact, the insurance sector should probably view cyber as at least as much risk as underwriting opportunity. Everyone, it seems, has an opinion about the Apple FBI dispute. The most interesting development at week's end is Apple's explaining to the court exactly what would be involved in creating for the FBI what Apple is tendentiously but probably fairly calling government OS. It's not trivial, and it's not likely to be a one-off either. Studies of public opinion show mixed results over how much people really do value their online privacy. It's worth recalling that both business and governments collect vast amounts of information. We spoke with Johns Hopkins University's Joe Kerrigan about public and private data collection, and we'll hear from him after the break. Finally, Jacksonville State University is investigating and has also referred to law enforcement a case in which a student may have stolen credentials to hack into university records. Think of it as registering for a class, although in this case that would be a Class B felony. A note to our listeners, we'll be at RSA next week covering the conference and special issues and podcasts. If you're going to be there, drop by booth 1145 in the South Hall and say hello. But act quickly. While supplies last, we'll give you a swell pen. Joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan from the Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute. They're one of our academic and research partners. Joe, it seems like these days there are lots of different organizations who are collecting our data. The government collects our data. Private companies collect our data. But those are very different things. And in your opinion, they're not the same.
Right. And this is, let me be clear, this is my opinion. There's a lot of talk around corporations collecting your information. That doesn't concern me as much as government entities collecting your information and your activity, cell phone logs and things of that nature. When a company's collecting my behavior online, I know what their goal is. Their goal is to sell me something. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to tell me about a product that's available that they think I might be interested in. And sometimes that becomes kind of a nuisance. My favorite example of this is at some point in time, I was looking at my mail. I have a Yahoo Mail account, and there were ads on the side of that for Depends undergarments. And I'm thinking,
slipped into some demographic, yes, unknowingly.
Why is it that you think I need Depends?
Well, there was that case with Target where Target had figured out that I believe it was a teenage girl who was pregnant.
Yeah.
Started sending her coupons for baby stuff, and her parents didn't know that she was expecting.
Correct. While my stories are humorous, that one's not so much. Those kind of events are where you have adverse effects like this are kind of few and far between. Some people would argue they're unacceptable, and I would say their arguments are not invalid. I would also say that perhaps I don't really agree with them.
Okay.
My concern, however, is much more with governments collecting the data. Something that companies never do is they never kick open doors and go into a house and round people up and take them away, never to be seen again. Governments have a history of doing that kind of thing. And that's what makes me nervous. And I'm trying not to sound like a guy with a tinfoil hat on.
Right.
I trust a government a lot less than I would trust a corporation simply because of the amount of power that they wield.
So how does someone go about limiting the amount of data that's available for the government to gather from them?
There's a couple of things they can do. First, you could get a web proxy service that anonymizes your internet traffic without costing a lot of speed. And you can shop around online for them, and there are lots of articles that tell you which ones are the best and which ones keep the records and which ones don't. As far as cell phone records go, you have to go to a more extreme measure where you're using what they call burner phones. These are phones that you buy at the store for cash, and then you buy time on these phones for cash, or you just repeatedly throw the phones away. However, that makes it kind of hard for people to get in touch with you.
Right.
I mean, that's something we're kind of captive with. We have these phones now that we carry around that track a lot of information about us.
Obviously, on the individual level, we're limited in what we can do, but it really is one of those things I think as a society we have to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's really not a lot you can do, particularly with the phone records, you know, without going to extreme measures that become very inconvenient, actually.
All right. Well, sleep well tonight, Joe. Joe Kerrigan from Johns Hopkins Information Security Institute. Thanks again for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.